the message. There's no Wednesday night meeting this week. It's Tuesday night. And it's a special Thanksgiving service. So come and give thanks to the Lord for all his blessings of the year. Okay, that's it. I'm going to speak this morning on a subject I don't think we've heard this much. It's pride. P-R-I-D-E. Pride. And we're going to look, first of all, at somebody who showed pride and got in trouble for it. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. It's about a king, only 16 years old. Imagine that, a king of Judah. So verse 3. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the wisdom of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Get that? As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now we go down a little ways to verse 9. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, and at the valley gate, and at the turning of the wall, and fortified them. Also he built towers in the desert, and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains. Husbandmen also, vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by hand bands, according to the number of their account, by the hand of Jehiel, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600, and under their hand was an army 300,000 and 7,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the hosts shields, spears, helmets, habergeons, bows, and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and on the bulwarks to shoot arrows, and great stones withal, and his name spread far abroad. For he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, and were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy rose up in his forehead before the priest of the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in the several house, being a leper. for he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king, his house, judging the people of the land. You can tell what happened to this man who was king. At 16 years old, he became a king. Now, he didn't have, as we would say, not much judgment being 16 years old. But he gathered together great armies and people that farmed the land and all kinds of things. He says he sought the Lord until he was strong. And when he was strong, then things started to go wrong. His pride got the best of him. And he thought, why can't I go in the temple and offer up incense there, like the priests do? So he went in this with a censer with the incense. He went to offer up incense there. And the priest says, wait a minute, you're not supposed to go in there. And he, Azariah, and 80 other priests went in after him and threw him out of the temple. And from that moment, when he was thrown out, they noticed in his forehead leprosy started gathering on his face. And he says he was a leper until the day of his death. So this man who held pride in his heart and departed from the ways of the Lord was a leper unto the day of his death and could not dwell with other people that dwelt in a separate house of his own. So we find here, this is an example, but we're going to look at other things. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, reading at verse 16. These things doth the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. So here we find that God hates pride. He hates it. And so you have to watch out not to get into it. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter 5, verse 5, it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So the Lord wants us to be humble and not proud. Now, this thing cropped up when the disciples of the Lord were with the Lord here on earth. And we'll look at a verse or two in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 46. Then there arose reasoning among them, that's among the disciples, which of them should be the greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought in their heart, took a child and set him by him, and said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, whosoever receiveth him, me receiveth him, has sent me. For he that is least among you, the same shall be great. And then also in Luke 22, verse 24. Now imagine this, what happened here. And there also arose a strife among them, the disciples, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them that kings of the Gentiles exercise authority over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that does serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Now it's strange to think that the Lord faced this once already, chapter 9, and now in chapter 22, it's coming up again. It seems like there was an undercurrent among the disciples of the Lord. They weren't all the time thinking spiritual things as they went around with the Lord. But underneath, there was an undercurrent there that who shall be the greatest of us? Who's going to be great? Who's going to be the greatest? And the Lord tried to settle it once already in chapter 9, but now it comes up again in chapter 22 that they were not settled in their own hearts and souls to know what the Lord was trying to teach them. Don't use pride in your life. So now we come to another thing. 1 Timothy 3. It comes up here too, but I'll read, start from the beginning. Verse 1, about a bishop or an elder in the church. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. It says, not being lifted up with pride, and not a novice. That means, a novice means one lately come to the faith, a new person to the group. Is not to be an elder or bishop. He's got to have some experience upon himself over the years to know how to deal with matters. So the thing that I speak of here is not lifted up with pride. In other words, some places they think, well, I got quite a big job here. I'm in charge. That's not the way the Lord wants us to look at these things. Because it says he could fall into condemnation of the devil. What does that mean? Let's look at that in Isaiah 14. Isaiah Isaiah 14, reading at verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? That's another name for the devil. Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. You notice in all these verses that word, I will. I will. I will. I will. And the main thing it seems like is saying, I will be like the Most High God, that I'm going to take over just like God does. Another, he was lifted up with pride, and then it says that the verse we read before, not in the condemnation of the devil. So the condemnation the devil has, that he was lifted up with pride, and he was thought he was going to take over God's job. He wanted to be on top. So he kept saying, I will, I will, I will, I will. God said, no, you're not. You're not going to do that. I'm in charge here. So that was pride, the cause of Lucifer's fall. Now another example we get in Luke 18. Luke 18. Reading at verse 9. And Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Here we have the comparison between these two men. One a Pharisee, one a publican. A publican was a tax collector among the Jews. He was hated because he didn't always take the right amount of taxes. You know, we get things like that today too. You don't take the right amount of taxes. But anyway, this publican was hated because he was a publican. But we have this Pharisee, who was a very religious man, and as you read in other parts that they had special garments on and things upon their forehead telling how holy they were and all these kind of things. So he was really, in his own mind, he was up there and with pride. He starts to tell the Lord here all the things that he did. I give tithe of all I possess, and so on. And he says, I'm not like all these other people. I'm higher than they are. So, along that, the Lord taught, here's another man, this publican. And the publican would not so much lift up his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast and say, God be merciful to me, a sinner. In other words, the publican took a low place when he was confronted by the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. And when the Lord saw them praying, the Pharisee says that he prayed with himself. Oh, I'm not sure what that means. He prayed with himself. God, look upon me now. How good I am. I'm not like these other men. But when he came to the publican smote his breast and said, God be merciful to me. He said, I'm a sinner. I acknowledge it. And so the Lord said, I tell you, this man, this publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now we turn over to 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2. Reading at verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now we have these three points that are mentioned here about the Lord does not like. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The pride of life. Christ was tempted those three ways in the Mount of Temptation. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Adam and Eve were tempted that same way. Those three ways. But here we're told that in concerning the world and the Christian that he's not to be doing these things. He says, love not the world, for neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That means people that are really taken up with the things of the world. Is the love of the Father is not in him. So we don't want to be that way. We want to be spiritual Christians, doing what the Father wants us to do, and not be tempted these things. By these things, one is the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but is of the world. I heard one time, quite a while ago, I didn't know, there was a farmer, and he was concerned about whether he was humble enough. And so he thought, I'm going to go out into the barn, and I'm going to pray all night, and I'm going to humble myself in front of God in this barn. So he did so. Hour after hour went by in his barn. Finally came morning time, and he came out of the barn. He says, well, I guess nobody is as humble as I am because I've spent all night humbling myself. So what did he get from that? He was proud of being humble. He was proud of being humble. So that's crazy, isn't it? Now we go again to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with a lowly than to divide the spoil with a proud. Now this is one of the Proverbs, and it's given by Solomon, one of the wisest men that ever lived then at the time. He said, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. In other words, when somebody gets too proud, the Lord cuts them down a notch, so they don't go and do the things that comes into their mind to do. Next thing we go to is Acts 12. Acts 12, reading verse 21. This is about King Herod. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a god and not of a man. Immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms, and gave up the ghost. Here was a man who was king. He didn't give God the glory. He took the glory for himself. So it says that the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. We have to be careful about these things. You see what it did to King Herod? It cut him down pretty quick. He gave up his life because he didn't do the right things. Now another verse we're going to go to is in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Here we have the way of salvation. By grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Now, there are two things here. One is, a gift is something that you receive freely. Someone gives you a gift, and You think, I don't deserve this, but you take it and say, thank you. You give thanks for the gift that's given to you. So when the Lord gives us the gift of salvation, the response is, thank him for it. Thank him for it. And he contrasts this to not of works, lest any man should boast. When you work for something, you expect to get wages. That's why you're working, to get wages. But the Lord's saying, salvation isn't that way. Salvation is a free gift. You don't work for salvation. It's free. But you must take it. You must take salvation to be saved. You know, people have all kinds of ways of thinking they're meriting salvation. You ask somebody, are you going to go to heaven? Well, I think so. Well, how do you know? Well, I do good works. I treat my fellow man right. I give money to the church. I do all these things. And I hope that when the Lord puts his judgment on me, that he will decide that I've done such good things that I should be taken to heaven. A lot of people think, most people think that way. Most people think that they are meriting salvation. In other words, they're sort of working for it. They're working for salvation. God says it's not on that basis at all. It's on the basis of free gift. I'm offering you this free gift of salvation, and it's up to you to take it or leave it. And thankfully that we've, most people I know here have taken that salvation from the hand of the Lord and received salvation, and we know we have it. Because the Lord gives us the Holy Spirit to indwell us and to show us that he's given us that living water within us that will remain forever. Now, when does salvation start? When people think, well, you know, at the end of life, it's going to be determined then if I've done enough for God so that he will let me into heaven. It's not that way at all. Salvation comes the very instant you're born again. When you're saved and born again, that very instant, you get eternal life. You will not perish, but we'll have everlasting life. And we who have it know it. We know it within us. We know it. It's God who promised it, and he doesn't lie. So we know that he's given it to us, and we have it, and we thank him for it. Now you notice the end of this verse talks about there's no boasting. All through life now, we see a lot of things being boasted about. And if it was on the basis of doing your own good works to get to heaven, you could boast, well, I've done so much. Janet Soros there, the big multi-billionaire, he said, look at all I've done, all the money I've done, given. Some of the poor little person said, well, I haven't done very much, but I've done what I can. It's not, you can't boast about what you've given. Like pride is boasting. If you boast, say, I've done this, I've done that, I've done the other thing, I should get into heaven because of what I've done. Not on that basis at all. It's on the basis of a free gift that the Lord has given us. Now, I was reading a little thing I had in my drawer this morning that when I was in the 20s, I think, in my 20s, I was concerned about my grandfather. And I wrote him a letter and told him, are you really saved? Do you know what it is except Christ as your Lord and Savior? I thought I should do that because he's an old man. And he wrote me back the letter. And I have it, but I didn't want to bring it and read it. It's too private. But anyway, the gist of it was that I received Christ as my Savior when I joined the church. What does that mean? Then he says, I've done so many good things. I helped the Boy Scouts, and I've contributed to the church. I've done so many good things in my life. I hope that at the end of my life, that God will receive me. So I don't know what to make of it. If he's really truly in heaven now, or isn't, I don't know. Anyway, I tried to make it plain to him what to do. And he tried to make it plain to me that he'd done so much good that God would surely accept him. I don't know. So that's the message on pride today. Don't be proud. Be humble. But don't be proud of being humble either, like the man in the barn. No, I don't see any pianists today, so we'll just close in prayer. Our dear Father, we thank thee now for salvation. It says salvation is of the Lord. We who have been saved, Lord, we're thankful for it because we don't deserve it, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross and paid for our sins there that we might be saved. And we're thankful that we have the indwelling Spirit to give us assurance that we belong to thee. We thank thee now and pray that as we go forth, we may think of these things we've been reading today. And may not be have a proud spirit, but may it be a humble spirit as we go forth to serve thee as Christians. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's it.